week. Is that right, Sheila? Everybody, because we usually run when they do. So all the schools are closed, and so some people take advantage of that. But we are glad to see you. Everybody say, this is the day, the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. Well, we're going to start in Psalms 118, verse 21. Psalms 118, verses 21 through 24. Glory to God. The psalmist said, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. You know, the word salvation there, that's not talking about somebody coming to the altar and getting saved. He's saying, you're my deliverer. You're the one that has rescued me. You're the one that has saved me from every test and trial and every enemy. You're my Savior, my deliverer, my rescuer. Hallelujah. God is our salvation. Verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now that's an interesting scripture to us because that scripture is quoted in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. It's also found in the book of Acts. It's also found in the book of Peter. And it's also found in Paul's book of Ephesians. The stone, of course this is Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. And so we will be sad. No, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Glory to God. Now I want you to understand something. When he says here, this is the day, it's true that we rejoice every single day, but he's not talking about Monday. He's not talking about Sunday. He's not talking about Thursday. He's not talking about Friday. No, that's not what this means here. Day here means a specific period of time. You know, we might be talking about baseball players and we might say, well, back in Babe Ruth's day, how many of you know things were different in Babe Ruth's day than they are today? You might say, back in my high school days, how many of you looked a little bit different in your high school days than you look now? You know, glory to God. Back in Grandpa's day, amen. So this passage is talking about a specific period of time, a specific day, and it's a day that you and I are privileged to live in right now. Sometimes we think I'd like to live back in that day. Amen. But I guarantee you all the Old Testament saints, they want to live in the day that you live in, the day of the church, the day of grace, the day of our salvation consummated because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Hallelujah. So the day of salvation, this is the day of God's salvation offered to everybody, offered to all, because our sins were placed on Jesus so that we could be saved and healed and delivered and made whole in every area and in every possible way that a man needs to be saved. Can you say amen? Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this day. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. But the chief cornerstone, that means he's the foundation. He's the indispensable part of all of this. He's the essential part, the key ingredient, the most important part to this day of salvation. Because he is the only way to salvation. And so, you know, Peter picked up on that in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Peter said this to the religious leaders. See, they're questioning him about a man that was healed. You know, the man at the gate called Beautiful. Glory to God. And so Peter says this, New Living Translations, Acts 4, 10 through 12. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone you builders rejected or refused has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation. And no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. And like I said, that verse number 22 that says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, that's quoted in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and Luke's gospel. In every case, Jesus applied this scripture to himself. He said, I am the stone, the chief cornerstone, that you religious leaders have rejected. And in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone that we are all built upon. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In other words, Jesus is building a spiritual house. Amen. And we are living stones. Each one of us are living stones, but he's the chief cornerstone, the most important one. And we understand that. And then Peter in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8 says, as believers, Jesus is that cornerstone that our lives are built upon. So this is the day of salvation, the day of healing, the day of victory, the day of deliverance, because Jesus died on the cross for us in our place. Can you say amen? Amen. So it's the day of salvation. Well, you know this, but let's remind ourselves. The word salvation, again, doesn't just mean in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It doesn't just mean to come to the altar and get saved. People were talked about, same exact word translated for being born again is translated saved when people were healed by the power of God. Same exact word is translated saved when it talks about people were set free from some demonic power and so forth. And you see, the word salvation or saved is the sum total of every blessing that belongs to us because of the cross and because of what Jesus and what he did for us. So the Hebrew and Greek word means both. You can look this up from almost anybody, but the Hebrew word and the Greek word salvation means to be saved. Excuse me. It means to be healed, delivered. Thank God for healing. It means to be healed. It means to be delivered. It means to be made whole. It means to be protected. It means to be blessed and prospered. Hallelujah. This is the day of our total deliverance, and we are glad and we rejoice in it. Amen. And in this day, all we have to do is receive by faith what Jesus did for us. Amen. It's all a gift. It's a grace gift. If somebody gives you a gift, you just take it. You just accept it. You just receive it. You didn't earn it. You just take it and say thank you. Salvation is a gift. Glory to God. And so all we have to do is accept it and receive it. Glory to God. So all the blessings. Thank you, Lord. So all the blessings of our salvation are grace gifts that we receive by faith. Glory to God. Amen. I like the way Paul described this in Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. It's one of my favorite passages. I'm just going to read this to you from the Message Bible. It says, it wasn't so long ago that you, all of us, were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It is a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. But instead, God, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this all on his own, not with any help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us. Where does he want us? God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and in the next and in the ages to come, to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving us is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Or as the King James Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. In other words, all we do is accept and receive by faith what his grace provides during this day of salvation. Another translation says, for you have been delivered by grace through trusting in God's gift. So this is the day. Hallelujah. This is the day of our salvation, the day of our healing, our deliverance and safety and wholeness and soundness of mind. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, we just simply accept all these grace gifts by faith, and then we resist and stand against anything the devil tries to put on us that's not in line with these gifts. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I went to bed Wednesday night feeling 100%. Got up Thursday morning with every kind of symptom in the world. But I resisted those symptoms, stood against them, and you can't tell them now, but they're 95% gone. I guess I worked myself up here in a lather a little bit. But they're 95% gone. Praise God. And have been gone. Glory to God. Amen. So we resist the devil. We should resist it. We talked about that, you know, last week and Wednesday night. But that's so important that you learn to resist and stand against the devil anything that comes against you to steal, kill, and destroy what this day of salvation has provided, you ought to resist it and fight against it and stand against us. And I'm just talking about how we experience the day of salvation, and we walk in love and forgiveness. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, we have to receive by faith, but we have to walk in love and forgiveness so that the door will not be open to the devil and allow him to come in and afflict us. You know, the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Well, that means it's possible to give place to him. Well, not walking in love gives place to the devil. The Bible says faith works by love. So our faith won't work if we're not operating in love and forgiveness. Amen. And that opens the door to the devil. And nobody wants that. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Nobody wants to stop the flow of God's power in their lives and open the door to the devil. Now, here's something that will help us immensely along these lines if we'll take it to heart. I want you to listen carefully. Again, faith works by love. So if we get out of love, then our faith won't be in a position to receive God's grace gifts in this day, in this hour of salvation. And when it comes to walking in love, we know that means that we are to forgive others who wrong us or mistreat us. And we are not to mistreat others. We are not to, you know, do wrong things to them or treat them in some wrong kind of way. But here's the something I want you to see this morning particularly. And go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. They'll put it on the screen for us, but 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm talking about this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We just have to receive by faith all the benefits that have been provided for us in this day. And so we do that by walking in faith, by walking in love, and by resisting the devil and not allowing him to illegally put on us what he has no right to do. But when it comes to walking in love, here's something. When someone tells us or shows us that we've been wrong in the way we treated them or treated someone else, and we are guilty and we are wrong, we need to own that. Amen? You know what I mean when I say we need to own it? That means you need to take responsibility. We need to take responsibility for our actions, our words, and admit we're wrong instead of striking back and saying, well, you know, they did this to me first, or they did that to me first, or we just try to justify the way why we were rude, or justify why we were ugly, or justify why we weren't patient and kind, or justify why we struck back at them and said what we said. Because sometimes you can kind of be taken off guard, you know. Your wife says to you, your husband says to me, when you said that to me the other day, and you go, well. But we just need to own it and say, no, that was wrong. Yeah, I might have been having a bad day. I mean, I might have not meant it the way, it might have came out gruff when I didn't mean it that way. But nonetheless, we just need to own it and say that's wrong. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, somebody told me recently, you know that I had said something out in public that offended somebody else. Well, from my viewpoint, their shortcoming made me have to wait unduly. You know, maybe, you know, I wasn't patient about it. And so, and I want you to understand what I said was not a great sin. What they were doing was not a great sin. So please understand this. What they said was not a great sin. What I said in response to them, you know, and what they did was not a great sin. Amen. And what they said back about what I said was not a great sin. But, you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. And if there's some poison in the world, it doesn't matter whether you just take a small sip of it or drink a gallon of it; it'll kill you dead. And that's how not walking in love is. So we have to. You know, Jesus said, you know, taught on the great prayer of faith, and he said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Then he said in the next verse, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught. That means any little thing. Anything at all. Anything big, anything little, anything small. So I'm just making the point to you, this was all kind of, on my part and on their part, certainly, it was all kind of a small thing. What I said out loud as I'm waiting in line was, geez, this is going to take forever. You know, well, here's, of course, Margaret, I said it, I guess, louder than I thought, because Margaret said, be nice. You know, so, amen. So, but any kind of unforgiveness and not walking in out of line of love will open the door to the devil to attack you. And so my knee-jerk reaction when I heard that this bothered this person, you know, a store manager actually, was to defend myself and excuse what I said and strike back. Well, they said this and they shouldn't have been doing this. And I can't believe they said, you know, that was my knee-jerk reaction. But the matter of fact, the problem is, if you do that, you might end up defeated. If you do that, you might not get your prayers answered. If you do that, you might end up sick. Glory to God. So instead of doing that, you and I'm preaching more to me now than I am to you, but you get the benefit of it. And I should own up to anything we said or did that was wrong and ask God to forgive us and apologize when appropriate. You know, don't chase somebody down on the highway. And, you know, when you know you can't apologize to them, but sometimes you just have to say, no. Maybe they shouldn't have been driving that way, but I shouldn't have reacted like I did, or I shouldn't have done what I did or said what I did. Amen. So it's interesting here in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this, for what credit is it? He's talking about servants, be submissive to your masters. This could talk about employee to employer, but this really involves all of us. Anytime you're in a position of authority, anytime you're under somebody else's authority, we need to submit to authority. How many of you know that's right? How many of you know the flesh doesn't like to submit to anything? Amen. Glory to God. So it says, for what credit is it when you are beaten, when you are corrected, when you're reprimanded, when you're criticized, when you're accused of something that you are guilty of? What credit is it if you take it patiently? In other words, somebody says something to you and you are wrong. You know, your boss says, look, you've been to work 5 days in a row, late, 5 days in a row. Well, you're not doing anything godly because you take that patiently. You just need to go, he's right. Well, you're always like, no, just own up to it and admit it. There's no credit, amen, if you take that patiently. You're just guilty. You just need to own up to it. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. He goes on to say, but when you do good and suffer, in other words, somebody falsely accuses you of something that you didn't do, your boss, your wife, your husband, whoever, when somebody doesn't give you the honor and respect that is due you, even according to the Word of God, somebody says things about you that are not true, somebody unjustly accuses you or blames you for doing something, that's what he's talking about. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So if you do something and it's wrong, or it comes to your attention, you said something that offended somebody or did something to somebody that mistreated them in some way, then you just need to own that and repent. Amen. Glory to God, and ask God to forgive you and to forgive yourself. And don't strike back. Don't strike back. You know, this whole passage, I can show you how this is not just talking about servants to servants, because it goes on to say in chapter 3, you know, there is no chapter in when Peter wrote this. This is just a letter. He said, wives, likewise. What he's been talking about. What he's been talking about. You know, he said, listen, here's Jesus. He suffered unjustly, but he didn't strike back. What the problem is, sometimes we suffer justly for our wrongs and we still strike back. See, there's no credit in that. And he says he didn't sin. When he was reviled, he reviled not. You know, he didn't threaten. In other words, he didn't retaliate. So sometimes when somebody, you know, says we offended them, instead of owning up to it, we want to retaliate, doing the exact opposite of what he says. And then he goes on to say, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your husbands. And then verse number 7 says, likewise, you husbands. And then in verse number 8, it says, finally, all of you. Are you out there? Or are you going home? Are you getting this? I'm not doing a good job of getting it. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, glory to God. Amen. So don't strike back in some way. Amen. And, you know, if you're not guilty, we've all had, how many of you had a boss that was just harsh and hard and impossible to work for sometime or another in your life? Well, you see, don't withdraw. See, that's striking back when you just say, well, I'll do my job, but I ain't doing no more. I'm not going to be creative. I'm not going to try. No, don't do that. You just keep a positive attitude. You endure it. Amen. Don't strike back. Keep having a positive attitude and keep on doing good and keep on walking in love. And when you are wrong and when you are at fault, just own up to it and admit that you missed it and walk in love. Because it's the right thing to do, number one. It's the godly thing to do, number one. And number two, because you don't want to cut yourself off from the benefits of this day blessings, the day of salvation. Amen. Amen. Did you get that? A little side thought. I don't know if it helps you, but it helps me. So this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. What day is it? It's the day of healing. Glory to God. Aren't you glad it's the day of healing? 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, you have to read the whole thing. It says, who his own self, talking about Jesus, who his own self in his own body for our sins, amen, hung on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live into righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. There it is. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that's the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. When we were healed, when Jesus, amen, died on the cross for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we were healed. All you have to do is claim that or accept it by faith. Glory to God. Say it out loud. By whose stripes?
By whose stripes?
You were healed.
You were healed.
By whose stripes?
By whose stripes?
I was healed. And if
I was,
then I am. Say, I believe that. Believe it, say that it's so, act like it's so, even if everything around you says it's not so. See, that's what faith does. That's how you receive by faith. Glory to God. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One translation says, faith accepts as a real fact that which is not yet revealed to the senses. If it's revealed to your senses, you don't need faith. It's when it doesn't look like it's true. That's when you need faith. So you just by faith say, I'm healed according to the word of God. You say it so and you act like it's so. Glory to God. And you're glad about it. What else is this the day of? Oh, this is a good one. This is the day of abundant financial blessings where you don't have to have any. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 8:9, many scriptures. I'm just giving you one. But this scripture specifically ties financial blessings to what Jesus did for us on the cross. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. When did he become poor? When he died on the cross. When he died on the cross. Amen. He became poor that you, through his poverty, might become rich. At the cross, a great exchange took place. He took your sin so that you could have his righteousness. He took your sicknesses and diseases so that you could have his health. And he also took your poverty and your lack so that you could be abundantly blessed in the financial arena. Amen. This scripture says he became poor that you through his poverty might become rich. Some people don't like that word rich, but rich just means that you have plenty. Rich just means that you have more than enough. Rich just means that you have an abundant measure of something, that you don't have any lack, that you don't have any poverty in your life. I use that expression all the time. You know, if you eat some kind of dessert and it's real, 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 real sweet, and you go, ooh, that's rich. You mean it's got a lot of sugar in it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But the Bible says rich, so we shouldn't back away from that word. Amen. I mean, if all your needs are met, you got money left over, you're rich. Doesn't mean you're a millionaire, but you don't have any needs, every bill is paid, and you got extra money, Then you have abundance. And again, in context, this passage is specifically talking about money. All of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and all of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is talking specifically about money, about finances. He is not talking about you are spiritually rich. We are spiritually rich, but that scripture is talking about money. He became poor so that we might be financially blessed and prosperous. Glory to God. So Jesus in this verse, glory to God, in redemption has promised material prosperity and blessings for his children. Thank God for it. Rejoice and be glad about it. I remember what it's like to have a lot of lack in my life. Glory to God. And then Christ on the cross also redeemed or purchased our deliverance from the curse of lack and poverty. And I'm glad about that. Amen. Amen. Now, sometimes you have to rejoice and be glad about it by faith. In other words, it may not look true, but that's what faith does. Faith shouts while the walls are still up. And the way to make it true is to operate in faith. So when I was a young policeman and, And you know, back in Tifton, Georgia, back in the day in 1978. I found out that he became poor so that I might be rich. And so I began to shout about it. But I didn't look rich and I didn't feel rich. I walked around on the streets of Cleveland because sometimes I'd have to walk the beat, and I was the newest guy, the youngest guy on the force. So they'd give me that job. You know, everybody had to rotate around, but I'd get stuck with that job at first until I got some experience on me, more than the rest of them. And I wore a hole in the bottom of my shoes. And I wore a hole in the bottom of my other pair of shoes. And I cut out a piece of cardboard and stuck it in my shoes so the sand and the dirt, you know, to try to keep that out of there. But if you had saw me walking down the road, you'd have thought I was the richest man in town. Praise God, I would have told you my God richly supplies all of my needs according to His glory in Christ Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. I rejoice. I'm glad that my needs are abundantly supplied and God takes care of me financially. What am I doing? I'm being glad and I'm rejoicing by faith. Hallelujah. And I got a new pair of shoes. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Well, what else? What else? This is also the day of having a sound mind, emotional stability, and having peace in your mind. That's the day of your mind being free of fear and confusion and depression and 101 mental problems and disorders. Aren't you glad for that? I said, aren't you glad for that? If you've never ever known anybody or ever experienced any of that in your own life, you know that's a big, big, big deal. Isaiah 53:5, of course, is the great redemptive chapter. This is talking about Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. It says, surely He hath borne our sicknesses and diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And then it says, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. This is peace is something Jesus provided for us, again, on the cross, and is available to us in our day, in this day, the day of the Lord. Amen. The Amplified Classic says, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon Him. He took all of your, at the cross, He took your confusion, your mental anguish, all your fears, all your mental problems. He took them and He gave you His peace. Just receive it by faith. Can you say amen? Reverend Larry Hutton, you know, Larry's been here many, many times. Saw him last week when we attended a funeral together. But he wrote a great book about this. And in this book, he said, in other words, Jesus took all our pandemonium, upheaval, turmoil, chaos, uproar, confusion, madness, rage, fury, panic, fear, terror, and every other type of mental disturbance. Simply stated, He took all of our emotional disorders for us. Now we can have emotional order and have our emotions controlled by peace and joy. Jesus took our emotional disorders upon Himself and then gave us His peace and emotional stability. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus, the chief cornerstone, this is the day of peace and mental stability for all who will receive it. And then here's something else. It's the day of dominion over Satan and sin. Glory to God. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you in this day of grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, it says, for you are under grace. How many of you are glad you live under the day of grace? This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day of our salvation. We're under grace. And if we're under grace, then the Word of God says sin shall not have dominion over you. Somebody says, well, it sure seems like it has a lot of dominion over you, me. Well, you better start operating in faith then. You better believe that it has no dominion over you, and you better be glad and rejoice and act like it has no dominion over you. Can you say amen? Amen. And now here's something. Look, watch this. Without doing any injustice to the Scripture whatsoever, because sin and Satan are synonymous terms, you could just as easily translate this, for Satan, everybody say Satan, shall not have any dominion over me. Satan shall not have any dominion over me, for I am under the law. For I'm not under the law, but under grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Yes. I said, aren't you glad? Yes. Colossians chapter 1. Put it up for us. Colossians 1:12. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:12. Sin and Satan have no dominion over us. Amen. Oh, he'll try to make you think that he has dominion over you. He'll try to make you think that you're not free from those old things that you died to. He'll make you feel them in all their power. But we don't care what he says, or we don't care what he makes us feel. We don't care what he suggests to our minds through thoughts. We believe that sin and Satan have no dominion over us. So Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12 says, hallelujah, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us, many translations say, transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And then I like Colossians 2:15. Other translations say he defeated when he died on the cross and he went into hell before he was raised from the dead. He says he defeated the devil and Jesus stripped him and disarmed the devil and the demon spirits. He stripped them and disarmed them of their authority over us, triumphing over them in it. So Satan and sin have no dominion over me. Satan and sin have no control over me. Ephesians 1:22 says the devil is under our feet, meaning we have dominion over him. He's under your feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'm trying to get free of the devil. I'm trying to get free of sin. Forget it. Forget it. You're missing it. You'll stay bound. No, just by faith, believe that you are free and have dominion over him, regardless of what your feelings tell you, regardless of what it seems like, just confess and say and believe and laugh at the fact that the devil does not have dominion over you. You're glad about this. Confess it so and rejoice and be glad. Sorry, sweetheart, I yelled too long there. Amen. Don't want to sound like the State of the Union address. Let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now here's what I want you to get. Rejoicing and being glad is a major, major thing in the Bible. It's a major aspect of faith. Thanking God that you have something when there's no physical reason to believe that you have it is the greatest kind of faith I know of. Praising God and rejoicing and being glad and thanking God that you're not sick when the doctor says you are and when you have pain in your body. See, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. And we all need to understand this. Even when you can rejoice and be glad about some truth of God's Word, even though thoughts say it's not true and circumstances say it's not true and your emotions say it's not true and what you can see say it's not true and all these things are scream at you that it's not true, 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 but you go ahead and say it is true because God said it's true. Hallelujah. That's an act of faith. And when you operate in real Bible faith, you get results. You receive, you overcome. And every believer, some believers have never learned to do this, but every believer needs to learn to laugh and rejoice and be glad by faith. By faith. That means because you do believe in your heart. Some people really do believe, but they're just waiting for something. No, because they never release their faith. You got to release your faith. Because you do believe this is the day of salvation. This is the day of healing and victory. Because you do believe that, glory to God, you laugh in the face of demonic lies. You laugh in the face of adverse circumstances. You laugh in the face of emotions that scream at you that is not true. See, you can laugh in faith. Now, you can certainly laugh because the Spirit of God gets a hold of you. More correctly, you can laugh in the spirit. You ever seen somebody just laugh uncontrollably? But you know, you can also laugh in faith or laugh by faith. Amen. Glory to God. That means you don't feel like it. According to what you can see, according to what your mind tells you, there's absolutely no reason to laugh or be glad at all, but you just go ahead and do it by faith. Is that scriptural? Well, the Bible says count it all joy when you fall into different tests and trials and temptations. See, it's not joy, but you count it as joy. And you just go ahead and rejoice and be glad anyway. So Brother Hagin would talk about how he laughed at the devil even though he faced alarming, fearful, dreadful looking symptoms. You know, he was raised off a deathbed. And one of the things, just one, there were several things that would kill him. He had an incurable blood disease. He was paralyzed, but his heart was deformed. That alone would kill him. and see who he was raised. He knows what those symptoms are like. He dealt with those symptoms for months and months and months and months and months and went down to death's door on several occasions. He understands those symptoms. Well, a few years after he was raised off that deathbed by the power of God, you know, he's on the road alone. He's staying with the pastor and his wife at their home. No motels much in those days. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, alarming heart symptoms. In other words, his heart's beating irregularly and his heart's beating too fast and his skipping beats and there's pain. And you know, this almost killed him. And he said, so I'm in the back bedroom. I don't want to disturb anybody. He said, I pulled up the covers over my head. He said, I just begin to laugh. Now, when he says he laughed, he didn't laugh hysterically. He just laughed like this. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. People all over the world do that just from him talking that way. You don't have to laugh that way. You can say he, 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 he in faith. But he said, I don't know. He said, you know, to you it seemed like a long time. It might have only been 1 or 2 minutes, but he said it seemed like about 10 minutes to me. He said, the devil said to me, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you, Mr. Devil. And then he went right on back to laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Well, that happened 4 times, and the devil didn't like it. You know, the thought came to his mind from the devil. He said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you. He said, why are you laughing at me? He said, because you said I'm not going to get my healing this time. And the devil spoke to his mind through thoughts, you know, and said, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. You're not going to, you got it in the past. You were raised off that deathbed, but this time you're not going to get your healing. You're not, and he just went to laughing again. And finally, the devil said, well, what are you laughing at me for? He said, I already told you 3 times. You want me to tell you again? I'll tell you again. I'm laughing because you said I'm not going to get my healing. He goes, that's right. You're not going to get my healing. So this time, Brother Hagin said, well, let me just open the Bible to you and read it to you. And he read 1 Peter 2:24 to you. He said, let me just read this to you, Mr. Devil, in case you can't read. I don't know if you can or not. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. I'm not trying to get my healing. I already got my healing. I'm already healed. Ha, 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 ha. He said, you never seen a fellow pick up all his symptoms and leave as fast as you could. What's he doing? He's acting on his faith. He didn't feel like it. He had pain in his body. He knew how serious it was. He had nearly died from it. But you know, every believer needs to learn to laugh in faith. You need to laugh at the devil even though you have alarming circumstances. Looks like they're fixing to come. Take everything you got. Looks like you're going to go under financially. But the Word of God says, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Word of God says you were made rich when Jesus died on the cross for you. And so you just need to learn to laugh at the devil when you don't feel it. Of course you don't feel like it. You feel like curling up in the fetal position and crying. It won't work. Ask me how I know. So what does it mean to laugh by faith? It means you do it. It means you're doing it in the flesh. You just put it on. Ever been a put on? Just put on it. You do it even though you don't feel like it. You just put it on because you do believe God's word in your heart more than you believe everything, anything else. And like I said, you don't have to say ha 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 ha. You can giggle. You know, you can say You can just fake laugh. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my need. Every need is met. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Interrupted by a phone call that says they're going to come take your car unless you pay the bill. Oh, glory to God. I just thank you, Father, when you hang up. I just think, ha, ha, glory to God. You're laughing in faith. Hallelujah. It's important that you release your faith. It's important that you learn to do this. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that here in a minute. All right? I'm going to give you an opportunity to release your faith with the words of your mouth. Certainly you release faith with the words of your mouth. You say what God says about you and not what the devil says about you. You say what God says about you, not what your circumstances tell you to say. Amen? So I'm going to give you a chance to do that. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand up. First of all, I want you to say this. Say, Satan, I'm walking in love. Now, if you're not walking in love, straighten that out. You can do that in a matter of seconds. You can say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. But say, Satan, I'm walking in love. So take your hands off my life. You have no right to be here. Now say this and say it like you mean it. Say, glory to God. Say, I've come to know and realize
and
believe
that
this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day of salvation. This is the day of my salvation, of deliverance, of protection, of healing, of mental soundness. This is the day of my prosperity. All these things belong to me right now, in this day, because of Jesus, the chief cornerstone. This is the day. The Bible says we were healed. And if I were healed, then I was healed. And if I was, then I am healed. Because this is the day of the Lord. This is the day of healing. And I am healed. Now rejoice and be glad about that a little bit. Ha ha ha. He he he. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. In a minute, I want us to sing that song, This is the Day the Lord Has Made. And then go right into, and I will enter His gates with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this. This is the day of abundant financial blessings. I am, according to the Word of God, financially blessed. Do you believe that? Act like somebody just gave you $1 million. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because in reality, in your heavenly bank account, you have a whole lot more than a measly $1 million. Just rejoice about that again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Declare this to be true. Say, this is the day of dominion over the devil and over sin. The devil and sin have no power over me. Have no power over me. I'm free from every demonic influence in Jesus' name. Now be glad about that a little bit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Laugh about it. Laugh about it. Ha 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 ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Say this. This is the day the Lord has made me whole. It's the day of safety. It's the day of protection. It's the day of soundness of mind. So I am protected. I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I have a peaceful mind. I'm delivered and free from all discouragement, from all depression, and from any and every mental disorder. Now rejoice about that. Laugh about that. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. I have peace. I have the peace of Jesus. Glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's sing that old chorus. Praise God. Hallelujah. already have it. Because you have to, sin has no power over you. Already a done deal. You're free. Because you're blessed in the financial arena. Because you are healed. Because you have a sound, peaceful mind. Say, ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, 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 ha, ha. Anybody listening to me online or whatever, or in this auditorium, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just quickly lift up your hand so I can pray for you? I know everybody in the room almost. I know 99% of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, say thank God, because this is the day I am saved. Aren't you glad? You get to go to heaven when you die. You get to live here on the earth and be a blessing. Be blessed. You know, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to do His bidding. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to enjoy His benefits and His blessings. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. As Paul went on to say, to depart and be with Christ is far better, but as long as we're here, to live is Christ. Everybody say, to live is Christ.
Christ.
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you found out you offended somebody or you did something wrong at work? And what are you going to do? Everybody say, own it. You're going to blame shift or make excuses. Now you just own it and say, I was wrong. God, forgive me. And keep the door shut on the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. God bless you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, guys. Thank
well,
you,
it don't get no better than that, does it? Amen. Glory to God. Well, we want to honor Pastor Mark. Happy birthday, brother. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, like I said, it don't get much better than that preaching right there. I mean, thank God. Thank God.